On Saturday of the last prayer breakfast, in the late morning, with Tom and Aileen and Mita and I, we went for a run. And surprise, surprise, we landed at St Andrews, one of our favourite spots. After our usual, we wandered around the town and did our walk around the historical part of the town. It's a lovely place to go for an afternoon. And when we were coming past the golf course where Tom and I always linger, the hallowed green of the 18th, world renowned, and as we left there, in my ears I could hear Gordon. And I didn't make much pay much attention to it, but it persisted, and I turned round, and here was a young man, and, well, he was a young man in comparison with me. I hadn't seen him for about 30 years since I left Bishop Briggs. And it was wonderful to see him. Derek Harley's his name. And so Tom and I went by. The ladies they don't think much about the 18th green at St Andrews, so they had wandered on. But I called Mita and them back to speak to Derek. And in our conversation, he introduced me to his wife. And to my amazement, she came from Lark Hall. That's no disrespect to the young lady's birthplace. But she came from Lark Hall, and during the conversation, I discovered that her grandfather was Tommy Wells, who used to be an elder in the little church in which I attended as a teenager. And then, to my amazement, we put two and two together, and we discovered that Jim and Betty Cazzo was our aunt and uncle. It's a small world, isn't it? And after we left, Tom, and we were walking back to the car, I said to Tom, it was a wonderful chance meeting. Somebody from Bishop Briggs had left to take a day to St Andrews. And four of us had left Peebles here and gone to St Andrews. And at the very moment we were passing the 18th green at St Andrews, we met together. It was a chance meeting, as we say. But when we turn to this particular passage of Scripture in John chapter 4, we could say that for the woman, it was a chance meeting. But when we read the Scriptures, we discover that for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a planned meeting. It says that he had to go through Samaria. It's a strange thing to start the passage by saying Jesus had to go through Samaria. Let me read this to you. The Samaritans were a mixed race of people, resulting from the intermarriage of Jews with the pagan colonists of Assyria, used to repopulate the northern kingdom after its dispersal in 722 BC. Racial hatred ensued, causing the Samaritans to form their own national and religious identity, complete with their own holy mountain and sacred writings. Though Samaria was considered off limits to devout Jews, Jesus and his disciples passed through it in order to keep a divine appointment. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his wisdom and his power, knew that there was a woman going to be at the well at Sychar, a woman who had a need to be met. And only Jesus could meet that need. And could I say that for this woman, this was a meeting that was going to change her life forever. And right at the beginning of my little message this morning, I want to say this. If you meet Jesus, your life will be changed forever. If you accept what he has to say to you. And so, we're going to have a wee look at this occasion when the Lord... He comes to the well, and he's tired, and he sends his disciples away to get food. He sends every one of them away. I find that very interesting. As I said, I think before, there was no Asda, and there was no selection of sandwiches for somebody to pick and choose. There was only bread, probably. One or two of them would have been able to go. But you see, the Lord Jesus wanted to meet this woman on his own. He didn't want a distraction. Other people being there. And so when the woman comes along, as she did every day, to draw water, she sees, to her horror, a man sitting by the well. And as she draws closer, she discovers not only is it a man, but it's a Jew. Not only is he a Jew, but he's a rabbi. And horror above horrors, before she knows where she is, the Lord Jesus says, "Could you give me a drink, please? Could you give me a drink?" And as you read the passage we had today, she is really confused. Because of the historical situation of the Samaritans and the Jews, why do you ask me for a drink? And there was almost an aggravation in her voice because she didn't know what to say. She says, "You know the Jews and the Samaritans don't agree. And plus the fact you're a man. Why do you ask me for a drink?" And it's very, very interesting what the Lord Jesus says. It's almost like somebody, a Christian meeting a non-Christian, and they ask them the very question. It just opens up the gospel and allows you to speak. And the question that she asked opened up for the Lord Jesus Christ to speak. And he says, "If you only knew who was speaking to you, and what I could give you, the gift of God, living water, you would ask me for a drink." And this confused the dear lady more and more. And into her mind came these questions. Who is he? What is the gift of God? What is this living water? She was completely confused. And it's obvious that as she thinks about this, that the water that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about completely is different from the water that she's thinking about. Can you understand what this lady had to do every day? She had to come to this well. And because, as we will discover later on, because of her lifestyle, she came on her own. She had nobody to help her. And as we read about this well, it's Jacob's well, which was very, very deep. And archaeologists had discovered it and told us this. It's one of the deepest wells in the area. It's a well that was given by Jacob to his people, to Joseph. And they were all satisfied with the water. But she had to come on her own and drop the bucket into the well and pull that bucket up a long distance. It was time. And in her mind, she said, "If I could only get this water, I wouldn't need to come back here every day." She had got the wrong message from the Lord. And so the Lord had to come and tell her about this water that he was willing to give her. The water which satisfies. The water that you drink from this well, you're back again tomorrow. She could understand that. But the water I will give you is the water of life, which is like a spring inside each of us. And there she was beginning to try to understand what it's all about. And she asks another question. She says, "Who are you? Are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well?" It's very interesting that she had a knowledge. And she had a knowledge that there was one day going to come into this world a Messiah. One who would be a deliverer. And one who would take away the sins of the world. And as she's speaking to the Lord Jesus and asking all these things, he says to her, "I would like you to go and get your husband." And there was a real problem there, because she said, "I don't have a husband." And the Lord revealed to her that she had already five, and the one she had now wasn't her husband. And all of a sudden, this woman realized this was a person that she was speaking to who could understand her and who knew her. And I want to stop there for a minute and say to you today, the Lord Jesus Christ knows you better than you know yourself. You can't hide from the Lord Jesus. Some people may say, "Well, I'm not as bad as that one, and I'm not as bad as him or her." But God looks right into your heart, and he knows exactly what you are. Before God, you're a sinner. And this dear lady was a sinner before God. Not just because of her life, but because of her birth. We're all born sinners. And it's something we can't get away from. And as she stands there and meditates what the Lord is saying, again she must wonder, "Who are you?" And then she says, "I know," in verse 25, "I know the Messiah will come That was good. The one who is called Christ, that's good. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, just prior to that, is explaining to her that he knows all about her. He knows all about her life. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, having got her to a position that he really wanted her to be, he said to her, I am the Messiah. I'm the one you're talking about. I am the Christ. And she got a revelation of who Jesus was. She asked it early on, who is this man? Who is this living water? What is the gift of God? And then God, through Jesus Christ, revealed who he was. And she just put down her pots. They're no longer interesting. I must go back. It's interesting to notice what she did. We're led to believe that she didn't live in Samaria. She lived in the outskirts. She was an outcast. She came to the well on her own. The local women probably shunned her. But she went back to the very people who shunned her to tell her she had met Jesus. That's the difference when you meet Jesus. And she went back and she reported that she had met a man who told her everything about herself. Can this be the Messiah? Can this be the Messiah? And it's interesting how the people reacted. It says, so the people came streaming from the village to see him. And then in verse 39, it says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. What a change in this woman. What a transformation. Because she met Jesus. But he met Jesus. As we come to a close of our service this morning, the first question I want to ask is, have you met Jesus? Have you had that experience of listening to his voice? Have you had the experience of recognizing who he is? Because it's the most important thing that you can do in your life is acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior, the one who died for you, and the one who will take you to be with himself forever. Where can I meet Jesus? Well, one is inclined to say, well, the lady met the Lord at a well, so there must be a particular place. Well, that's not really accurate, that. You can meet him in the church. You can meet him in the street. You can meet him in the house. You can meet him by yourself or with other people. But John Bunyan, when he tried to get rid of his burden, it says, when he went to the cross, his burden rolled away. No matter where you go, there is only one place that you can meet Jesus, and that's at the cross. And the same for you and for me and for everyone. There's a false doctrine going around today, and it says this: all roads lead to heaven. There are many people in prominent places who believe this. I want to say to you right now, in the Garden of Eden, the devil deceived Eve with a lie. And with the same proportion, he is deceiving men and women today by saying, all roads lead to heaven. That is a lie of the devil. There is only one way. When the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Thomas in John chapter 14, Thomas says, we don't know the way, Lord. We don't know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is only one way, and that is to meet Jesus. You either meet Jesus in time, or you meet him in eternity. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I remember the time I met Jesus. I was only 10. I was in the house with my mum. And the, The Spirit of God was convicting me of sin. And I asked her to read to me the passage of scripture that we were talking, Alistair was talking about the other Sunday, about John, Zacchaeus, who wanted to see Jesus. And that night, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you're secure and safe for eternity. But if you neglect to meet Jesus in time, you'll meet him in eternity. And there'll be those who say, but I did things in your name. I did this and I did that. And the scriptures are very harsh on it. It says, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, I don't know whether you've had the experience of maybe meeting somebody and my face is familiar. When I came here at first, I was mistaken for a gentleman. People would talk to me on the street and name him by his name. And I was really confused, and eventually I said to somebody, excuse me, who do you think I am? Oh, you're not him at all, he said. And I wasn't. And sometimes you speak to somebody and they say, what? I recognise you. And I haven't a clue. And then I have to say to them, I'm sorry, I don't think we've ever met. That's what Jesus is going to say. I'm sorry, I don't think we ever met in time. Depart from me. See how important it is to meet Jesus now. To meet Jesus while you've got the opportunity. This woman starts away as she's an outcast. And then, because of her meeting with Jesus, people embrace her. Because she in turn introduced them to Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful transformation. On Friday night, we had deposited a charge for our granddaughter. We're making her home. It was almost like the weary homeward way. And coming over the Fenwick Moor, a hymn came to me, as it sometimes does. Meat will tell you when it comes. I'll whistle it from there to Peebles. But I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And I spoke to Anne on Saturday morning, spoke to Meat about it. And we got the words, but I wasn't satisfied. And unknown to me, Graham was searching the net as I was searching the net, and eventually I got the words. And to my shame, it was sung by someone. I bought every LP that she produced in the 1970s. As I was saying to Tom or Graham this morning, it was either a model of yesteryear or an LP of Evie I bought in these days. And here it's a hymn that Evie sang, and it's beautiful. I want to quote the words to you as I close and hand back to Ian for the closing hymn. I remember how he waited, how he called me by night, yet I chose to wander my own way, and nothing worked out right. Till the day I finally surrendered, Jesus healed my life. I won't be the same. No, never the same again. When you become a Christian, the path is not always smooth. And this is what she sang in this verse. He may take me through the valley, even though I am his child. And the road he shows me may be tough or rough and rugged for a while. Yet he takes my hand and speaks a word that lightens up the way. I won't be the same, no, never the same again. And the chorus is, never the same again. Now I know I won't be the same again. For the moment I met Jesus, new life for me began. And I won't be the same again. Have you met Jesus? Have you given him your life? Because it's important. In fact, it's crucial that you come to know him now, before it's too late. May God bless these words to all our hearts. And if you've met Jesus and you're walking with him day by day, rejoice in the fact that he went all the way to Calvary, not just to a well to meet a woman, but he went all the way to Calvary and gave himself for me and for you. Amen.